Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Mindspace Business Parks REIT's earnings conference call for financial results for the quarter ended June 30, 2022. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this call is being recorded. I now hand the call over to Mr. Kedar Kulkarni. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, and good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the first quarter financial year 2023 earnings call for Mindspace Business Parks REIT. At this point, we would like to highlight that the management may make certain statements on this call that may constitute forward-looking statements. Please be advised that our actual results may differ materially from these statements. Mindspace REIT does not guarantee these statements or results and is not obliged to update them at any time. I would now like to welcome Vinod Rohira, our CEO, and Preeti Chheda, our CFO. Vinod will share the business update, growth opportunities, and his views on the macro environment. Preeti will further share an update on the financial performance. We'll then open the call to Q&A. I now hand over the call to Vinod. Over to you, Vinod.
Thank you, Kedar. Good afternoon. Welcome to Mindspace REIT's first quarter financial year 2023 earnings call. Our financial results for the first quarter reflect the start of a return to normalcy and gradual return of employees to their workplaces. We continue to see the rise in demand for institutionally owned Grade A office spaces with the best asset management ecosystems. We had recorded one of the best ever years of leasing in financial year 2022, and the tailwinds witnessed during the previous financial year continue to grow. We recorded leasing of circa 0.9 million sq ft during the first quarter, and committed occupancy of the portfolio has jumped up by 130 basis points quarter-on-quarter from 84.3% at the end of quarter four financial year 2022 to 85.6% at the end of quarter one financial year 2023. If you analyze the leasing activity, the best parks are capturing a significant share of market demand. During the quarter, Madhapur was the best performing market in the portfolio, followed by Airoli West. We have highlighted on previous occasions that vacant spaces in these parks would witness heightened traction when the demand returns, and the strong leasing activity in these parks is a testament to that. Occupiers across most segments are progressing well with their back to office plans. The physical occupancy in our parks have been improving each month since March. The current physical occupancy at our parks has increased from circa 23% in April to over 36% in July. The trends are much stronger in Mumbai region, where average physical occupancy at our parks was circa 47% for July, followed by Pune, where average physical occupancy stood at circa 32%, and Hyderabad at circa 28%. During the previous financial year, we had witnessed strong demand from large occupiers who were taking up spaces to cater to their long-term back to office strategies and consolidation needs. This quarter, we saw demand pick up for smaller office spaces as well. We expect this trend to further accentuate as the demand recovery becomes more widespread. Fragmented vacant spaces in our parks are witnessing demand from the expansion of large occupiers as well as mid-sized companies to cater to their new hiring over the past 2 years. We are seeing a greater preference for ready spaces which can be taken for fit out on an immediate basis, and this is helping us lease up the vacant spaces. As highlighted over the past 2 years, Grade A occupiers are gravitating towards institutionally owned office spaces with the best quality asset management practices, and this trend has become profound. Occupiers today are clear about who they want to be associated with. Strata sold assets are no longer considered to be at par with institutionally managed Grade A spaces, as institutional managed Grade A spaces have best-in-class asset management practices, are upgraded frequently, and adopt some of the best health, wellness, and safety practices. There is a discernible shift in demand towards institutionally managed office spaces in the occupier segments that we target. Our efforts of using the downtime to upgrade our offerings, improve our asset management practices, ease navigation within our parks, and create experiential asset ecosystems have helped us attract this demand. The ability of Indian services sector to deliver even during the peak of pandemic has won it accolades globally. This, coupled with the vast availability of STEM talent at lower costs, has aided the entry of new GCCs, GICs into India. India had 1,430+ GCCs at the end of financial year 2021. this count is expected to grow at a CAGR of 6 to 7% to reach 1900 plus GCCs by financial year 25. The existing GCCs, GICs have also hired a record number of new people to widen the bouquet of services offered to their onshore counterparts. As more managers and organizations realize the importance of offices in fostering teamwork, collaboration, creativity, and transmission of organization culture and strategy from senior management down to all levels of the organization, they are calling employees back to their base cities with a defined plan of bringing them back to desks. The return of employees to their base cities and eventually to office is putting pressure on occupiers to hasten the office space take up to cater to their increased headcounts. Both these factors are providing further fillip to office demand as physical offices offer an excellent ecosystem to nurture and build best talent. Globally as well as domestically, central banks are increasing the policy rates to contain rising inflation. Domestically, stricter lending norms stipulated by the Reserve Bank of India and rising interest rates are expected to impact the speculative development of non-institutional developers and would lead to deferment of certain upcoming supply. The institutional developers may be able to adhere to their delivery timelines, but they are likely to bring the new supply at higher rentals to compensate for the increase in costs. This is likely to add upward pressure on market rents, further improving the mark-to-market opportunity in our portfolio. We are excited to hear about the progress being made on rehaul of the SEZ Act. As we have been reading, the proposed law, Development of Enterprise and Service Hubs, or DESH, is intended to convert existing SEZs into engines of economic growth and employment generation. To promote this objective and aid the growth of current SEZs, the government is expected to allow partial denotification and permit rupee billing, thereby allowing SEZ occupiers to service domestic clients as well. The government is also intending to provide a single window mechanism for easier denotification of SEZ space. We are eagerly tracking updates on this front as this should provide massive support for demand in SEZs. This instills remarkable confidence in leasing out most of the vacant SEZ spaces post the change in law, accelerating the trajectory of occupancy movement. I would now like to take you through the specific operational updates for the first quarter. We have leased circa 0.9 million square feet during the first quarter of financial year 23, of which 0.4 million square feet was re-leasing and 0.5 million square feet was on account of new and vacant area leasing. The committed occupancy of the portfolio stood at 85.6, recording a jump of circa 130 basis points on a sequential basis. We have achieved an average re-leasing spread of 36.4% on the circa 0.5 million square feet area re-let. The average rent achieved on the 0.9 million square feet leasing was INR 63 per square foot per month. Our in-place rents have grown from circa 9.3% year-on-year to INR 62.4 per square foot per month. Our revenue from operations for the quarter grew by circa 16.3% year-on-year to INR 4916 million. We continue to demonstrate steady growth in our net operating income over the past few quarters. Our NOI for the quarter grew by circa 10.9% year-on-year to INR 4014 million. Our distribution stood at INR 2811 million or INR 4.74 per unit, up by circa 3% on a sequential basis. The weighted average cost of debt stood at 6.9% at the end of quarter one, financial year 23. Our portfolio is now further diversified with over 175 plus tenants. We are proud to announce that Mindspace REIT featured in Great Midsize Workplace 2022 in our debut. To summarize, we look forward to another year of strong growth, setting up new benchmarks as we continue to be amongst the most preferred asset manager partners for the growth needs of tech-enabled workspaces. We continue to upgrade our offerings and create experiential workspaces necessary for attracting the millennial workforce of India. We are proud to announce that the share of green buildings in our completed portfolio has increased from 77.3% in the March quarter to over 90% now. We received LEED Platinum and O&M certifications across six new buildings and LEED Gold O&M certification across five buildings during the quarter. We also continue in our endeavor to develop the ecosystem we operate in and thrive to improve it. As a part of our community outreach initiative, we have partnered with the local government in Telangana and built a new school in Gambhirpet. The school, spread over 10,000 square feet, has been designed to accommodate 400 children. It is equipped with well-designed classrooms, a library, dining area, training rooms, and an outdoor play area. With this backdrop, I hand the call over to Preeti to take you through the financial updates during the year.
Thank you, Vinod. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm happy to present our financial performance for the first quarter of the financial year 2023. We closed the first quarter with a revenue from operations of INR 4.9 billion, registering a growth of approximately 16.3% year-on-year. Our net operating income stood at INR 4 billion, recording a strong approximately 10.9% year-on-year growth. We continue to maintain NOI margin at 80% plus. We announced a distribution of approximately INR 2.8 billion, which is INR 4.74 per unit for the quarter. The distribution grew by 3% on a sequential basis. The distribution comprises approximately 93%, which is INR 4.41 per unit of dividend, which is not subject to tax in the hands of unit holders. Approximately 6.8%, which is INR 0.3 per unit of interest, and approximately 0.2% of other income. We have concluded the sale of approximately 40 acres of land at Pocharam, Hyderabad, for a consideration of INR 1.2 billion in the previous quarter. This consideration is not envisaged for an immediate reinvestment opportunity. In view of the same, it is proposed to pay out the sale consideration as per the terms of the REIT regulations. Accordingly, NDCF for the quarter ended June 30, 2022, includes INR 300 million of distribution of part of such proceeds to unit holders. On the funding side, our leverage on the portfolio on a consolidated basis continued to remain low at approximately 16.6%. Our net debt as on 30th June 2022 was INR 44.4 billion. We have undrawn committed lines of INR 3.8 billion from financial institutions. Our strong balance sheet provides us the flexibility to pursue organic and inorganic opportunities for growth of the portfolio. During the quarter, we refinanced INR 4.9 billion of debt through issuance of listed non-convertible bonds at SPV level and raised another NCD of INR 5 billion at the REIT level post the quarter end. With this NCD raise, around 41% of our debt is now at fixed cost. Our borrowing cost remains low at 6.9% at the end of the first quarter, though we expect the changing interest rate scenario to move our cost of debt higher in the coming quarters. We continue to pursue opportunities to optimize our borrowing cost in the current macro environment. Our evaluation of the potential acquisition of the ROFO asset, Commerzone Madhapur, Hyderabad, for which we received the ROFO notice from sponsors, is in progress. We hope to complete our evaluation and present the opportunity to the governing board soon. In furtherance of the Memorandum of Understanding executed between Gigaplex Estate Private Limited and Asset SPV of Mindspace REIT, and K Raja Corp Private Limited in relation to the transfer of leasehold land measuring approximately 16.4 acres at Mindspace Airoli West by Gigaplex to KRCPL, which was subsequently reduced to approximately 5.7 acres, we have decided to retain the 5.7 acres in Gigaplex to explore development of a data center or office space. REITs have demonstrated steady performance and have witnessed growing interest from all category of investors. The product is continuing to gain traction amongst retail investors, which is very encouraging. Our investor base expanded by over 8,000 unit holders in the quarter ended June 30, 2022, largely driven by the addition of retail investors. We expect positive regulatory reforms to help enhance liquidity in the instrument. It gives me immense pleasure to announce that we published our first sustainability report in the first quarter of this financial year. The report presents our commitment to drive a responsible business with high standards of governance and transparency. We are committed to investing in initiatives that benefit all our stakeholders and the communities around. To conclude, we expect the growth in NOI and distributions in the current financial year to be led by improving leasing environment, revival of demand for our SEZ spaces post-implementation of the DESH Act and the rules thereunder, and as Vinod mentioned earlier in this speech, tenants' preference for institutional high-quality asset managers. With this, I request the operator to now open the floor for question and answers.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have our first question from the line of Shashank Savla from Somerset Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi there. Thanks for the call. I had a couple of questions. So first, can you elaborate on the SEZ vacancy? How much of the total vacancy is related to that, which you will be able to fill now?
Hi, Shashank. So in our portfolio, about 1.6 odd million square feet is SEZ, which is waiting to get leased in terms of vacant spaces in the Navi Mumbai area. And the other park combined, I think totally about 2 odd million square feet.
So it's everything based in Bombay or New Bombay?
Yeah, predominantly Bombay, New Bombay. That's right.
Okay. The second question was on the net operating income margin. So if I compare it, this quarter it was around 82%. First quarter of last year it was around 86%. Is there any reason for the fall in that operating margin?
So Shashank, essentially what's happening is, with the occupancy in the parks increasing, our maintenance expenses are going up, rather I would say returning back to the normalized levels. We enjoyed the benefit in the last 2 years of, lower CAM expenses, obviously not a pleasant situation, but because of the lower occupancy. But now since the occupancy is getting better, the expenses are getting back to normal. So we still continue to maintain 80% plus, which we were doing pre-COVID.
Okay. And more general question is regarding the inflation. We've seen the inflation numbers higher. And with that, your costs would be increasing, but your annual rent escalations are almost fixed at, I think, 5% per annum. So how do you manage in this environment when the inflation is very high?
So there are two things that happen. One is whatever is built in any case is leased, so there is no inflation impact on constructed buildings. What it does is it moves the needle up towards increase on the base rent in markets where inflation for new assets becomes higher, cost becomes higher to build, rent goes up. So all your vacancies gain dramatically because they start catching up mark to market at higher rentals. Supply diminishes because most supply speculative in nature does not come if costs are going up. Fortunately, the inflation has tamed itself down now and we are seeing it under control levels. But yeah, it's been higher than what it was. But I think at these levels, we will see firming up of rent and we are comfortable with building.
Okay. And final question on the interest rate outlook, given that I think around 40% of your debt is fixed, is there any plan to fix more of your debt? And then what's the impact on your NAV or the market value of your properties?
So Shashank, we continue to look at opportunities to see if we can fix some more debt. If it's making economic sense, we will go ahead and do that. As far as, the overall impact goes, obviously in this financial year, we don't see a very great impact because obviously 40% of our debt is fixed. And of course, we have resets even for the variable debt. So it's not necessary all of it will increase. Of course, we will see an increase versus where we are today. We've already seen that in Q1. We moved up from 6.6 to 6.9. So you will see the directionally the interest rates will move. But we don't see, I would say, a very substantial impact, on distributions, at least in this financial year.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Kunal Dayal from Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Sure. Thank you. Vinod, my first question was on the rental rates. Are you already seeing those go up for, let's say, the new supply, when you rent them out in advance, or will this be contingent on, let's say, the occupancy of existing assets for crossing a particular threshold and it starts to go up after that?
Hi, Kunal. No, we've already seen rents move up. It's like Hyderabad, we did the new area that we lease is now in the range of 68, 69, 70. And the earlier areas were between 58, 59. So we've already seen rents form up.
Yeah, got it. Okay, and then just a follow-up on the SEZ part of it. You know, heard you that, you know, so far so good in terms of the drafts that have come out.
Yeah.
You know, does it sort of make you stay with your existing plan as to from when the SEZ spaces start incrementally getting leased out? Or, you know, do you think you can lease it out faster now? Will it still take time? Any color there?
So it's like this. While in each micro market, we have seen demand rise, we were not able to offer the SEZ space because we didn't see SEZ demand. Now with the Desh policy, that opens out doors to any tech player, domestic or otherwise, by within the SEZ infrastructure. That will push the demand and move the demand into these parks. So we're kind of very bullish on filling that space up. It will take its own trajectory, how you fill up in each micro market, depending on the demand supply dynamics there. But certainly it helps because you bring in infused supply where there's no supply in markets and you're seeing demand come.
Yeah. Broadly, if I may, is that an expectation for sometime within fiscal 23 or most likely for next year?
Most likely next year. We may just about start getting the tailwinds in Jan-Feb based on when the Desh policy comes in. But you'll see the real traction in the next financial year.
Got that. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone now. We have our next question from the line of Tanvir Surev, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi. I had a question about REITs in general, but you could also answer it from Mindspace perspective. So I understand that, you know, assets are being acquired by REITs, but is there any lifespan of the asset that is acquired, or what is the decision or what makes makes the management get rid of an asset? Like, I know what is, so I know how they acquire it, but in case of, you know, if an asset has to move out of the portfolio, what are the things that the management would be looking at?
So there are two, three things. Primarily, we are too early in our cycle, I think, for us to start evaluating whether we want to exit from an asset or not. It all depends on how the value translates. Currently, what is happening in most of the environments we develop, we have become dominant players, and those micro markets have emerged from suburban business districts to primary business districts in most of those cities. We still see a very strong upswing in the way those assets are going to be perceived in the coming years. So I think there's a lot more that asset can give back to the marketplace. Probably we are 5-10 years away from thinking about any of these assets that we may want to exit or not. But there is a process that is involved, and we will obviously follow that process by taking the requisite approvals. If at all we think of deciding to exit some asset and in that micro market, we will certainly look at what the process is.
Okay, but are there any parameters in specifically that you all are looking at in case of exit of an asset?
No, nothing really. If someone's really paying me 2 times my value now, very happy to exit. But keeping it more rational to what the market is, it depends on where the asset is in the cycle, what we believe is the future of a particular type of asset and micro market, whether it is strategic for us or not, and it continues to be value accretive or not, we will take a call based on that.
Okay, thank you. And just one more question. I see that the occupancy level in Mumbai is slightly on the lower side, and is that cause of the whole SEZ thing that you just spoke about?
Actually, physical you're saying occupancy in terms of vacant area or occupancy in terms of physical occupancy?
No, vacant area.
Yeah, so that was primarily the SEZ footprint, and the SEZ demand didn't pan out the way we were hoping SEZ demand would pan out, which is why it's vacant. The minute it moves and merges with the Desh policy, then suddenly that becomes a quality offering for the non-SEZ occupiers. And we've seen demand traction of the non-SEZ occupiers in some of our non-SEZ assets in the Navi Mumbai region, which have seen a lot of leasing traction.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Reminder to participants to press star and one to ask a question. We have a next question from the line of Abhinav Sinha from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Hi. A few questions. So, first of all, can you update us on where we are on the ROFO discussions currently?
Hi, Abhinav. So, Abhinav, as things stand, we are in the process of evaluating, and we almost reaching, I would say, the closure of our evaluation. And I guess in the next few months, we should be able to go to the governing board to present the opportunity.
Okay. And any thoughts on its likely financing mix between debt and equity?
So, Abhinav, that's still under discussion, and hopefully, you know, when we've concluded, we should be able to come back to you with the exact structure.
Okay, but target remains to conclude this in the current financial year, right?
As you yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Secondly, so, you know, on the CapEx part, can you guide us with the pace that we have seen in the current quarter? Is it sustainable, or do you see it tapering down as some of those buildings come up?
So the way we see it is in the current financial year, two new building projects have started. One is a 1.3 million square foot in Hyderabad, and the other is a million square feet in Pune. And we see similar trajectory continue to be there in the coming quarters and years, as in when we get to opportunity to develop more assets. So this will continue in the same trajectory that you see.
Okay, and roughly the same sort of spend that we are seeing should be broadly what we should expect, $1.5 to $2 billion a quarter, yeah?
Yes, that's right.
Okay, and just going back to the SEZ discussion, so can you just remind us what is the total portfolio area that you have in the SEZ side, and is there a number for occupancy there versus the overall portfolio?
So the total size of our SEZ portfolio is 14.4 million square feet.
Okay.
And that is currently 86.2% leased, occupied.
Okay, so not much of a difference overall, right?
No.
But do you see a rental difference here?
No. See, what is happening is the minute you create the right ecosystem and you're in the right quadrant of space and you've done the right experiential offering, these are similar office spaces whether it's SEZ or not. So it becomes an active ecosystem, then it attracts the top talent to come and work there, and that's why top companies want to lease.
Right. But you know, your excitement on then, you know, converting from SEZ to say a normal sort of an office space, is it because of incremental demand or is there any other reason?
One is the SEZ policy had an expiry date. So by default, after that expiry, most clients had no clarity on the continuity of wanting to take an SEZ occupancy and continue with that. So this policy, they were all waiting for. And because it was quite defined in terms of dollar billing and 100% EOU, dollar income only, etc., companies didn't want to be in a regimented environment. What this new policy will do is allow them to subsume in the Desh Act, continue to grandfather the guys who are doing the exports, and bring in all the new domestic players or tech companies that don't necessarily want to be under the framework of the existing SEZ law to occupy and be in this Desh environment where their focus is really employment and economic growth. It's nothing to do with a regiment of dollar earning and stuff like that. So it just changes the game.
Okay, so it basically it gives more flexibility to your occupiers, and you believe that's the right way for this to go.
Completely, absolutely.
Okay, and just you know, one sort of last question from my side on you know, we have seen this jump up in committed occupancy, which is quite, you know, good to know. Now, I mean, when does the actual occupancy follow, and you know, what should be the trend say for the next 9 months there?
So what happens is whatever you lease, generally the period between closing the transaction and signing a lease is a couple of months. And then you have between 6 and 8 months of rent-free depending on size, client. If it's a smaller client, it could be even 3-4 months. So the minute that period gets over, you generally start seeing the rent coming in.
Okay, and that is when we will basically call it actual occupancy. Yeah.
Okay. So physical occupancy begins at that point in time. The lease commences when you sign the lease deed. So you have a rent commencement date and a lease commencement date. The lease commencement is really 6 months prior to actual rent commencement date.
Got it. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question are requested to press star and one on their phone now. We have our next question from the line of Samar Sarda from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Please mind the background noise. I have three questions. One, the 120-day extension you've taken for the ROFO, like PT did mention that you're still evaluating. What is the possibility that it might be extended further? Because, like, it's, from an asset acquisition perspective, like, given the SPV, the occupancy seems to be a pretty straightforward thing. Any likelihood it might get extended further?
Samar, we don't really at this stage envisage, you know, this being extended further. We should, I think, within the time we've asked for, should be able to present the opportunity to the board.
Okay. My second question was on the area you decided not to, like, sell back to the group, the KRCPL group. Given the vacancy at Airoli West, any particular reason you want to keep back the area right now or not monetize it? And if I'm not wrong, there is some sort of encroachment or full occupancy or possession not being there of the property. So what's the rationale behind keeping the property back?
So, hi, Samar. Most importantly, two things have happened in the last 12 months. One is we've seen a surge in data center demand. And in the same piece of land, abutting this piece of land, we are now doing two independent buildings of data center. So we believe there will be an opportunity to do a third if we can retain this land back. Secondly, coming back to the STPI demand, which is the non-SEZ demand, we had a 1 million square foot building which we had denotified. We are significantly leased out. I think I wouldn't be surprised if before the coming quarter end we come and tell you we fully leased that building out and we have no STPI supply. So that also gives us a heads up. If we want to add more supply to that micro market in that park, then we should retain the land for that. So we are right now toying with opportunities, and which is why we want to retain it to ourselves.
Okay, my third was a follow-up basically on Airoli West itself. So the 0.9 million square feet, which is like complete, more or less leased out. So for the area you've retained, would we also see a possible new start to construction by the end of this year, possibly for a third data center building? And what is the timeline of denotification? Because we are still in draft stage for building B5 to be denotified and that 0.5 million square feet to be leased out.
Yeah, so what is happening is, I'm glad you remember the asset and the building. It's very, very happy to note that you're aware of the asset, and I'm glad you asked that question. What is happening under the new Desh policy is we may have to not be required to denotify, because Desh is allowing you occupancy of non-SEZ profile of customers directly to come in. So we may save the complete time of denotification, and from the day Desh is activated, we will be able to lease these spaces. So that's a big game changer that is envisaged in the new act in the way currently the draft bill has been represented.
Great. And the query on, like, possible construction start to another data center building since you, like, retained that land, Mr.?
Right now we are exploring opportunities. We'll be very happy to leave as fast as we can. But we see potential, which is why we want to retain the land.
Great. Thanks for taking some of my questions and all the best for the rest of the year.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Shashank Savla from Somerset Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi there. Thanks again. So one follow-up question on the data center. In terms of the actual returns, how does the data center compare to the office segment?
Hi. So it depends on place to market, time to market, at least 10, 15, 20% pop in terms of value you can achieve if it is a build-to-suit data center in this market environment.
Okay.
Right. So no, so I'm just trying to understand, if you have a vacant plot of land, how would you decide whether to sort of build a data center or an office in that area?
You will not build speculative data centers. You will always build a data center if it is a pre-committed build-to-suit transaction. So
right,
till then,
right,
it is it's pure land, unless you want to transact in a future leasable, buildable area kind of an arrangement. But otherwise, you would build only if you had a customer for the data center.
And the existing data center project, is that complete or is that yet to be completed?
So there are two blocks committed by the customer. The first block is under construction, which is 315 or 1,000 square feet, which is scheduled to be delivered by December this year. We are about 15, 20, 30 days ahead of schedule, so we might hand over earlier. And then the second building was to be built within 12 months of handing over the first building. Most probably we might see the tenant ask us to build earlier, but otherwise that's the schedule.
Right, okay. And then I had a question for Preeti on the NDCF. I just wanted to understand a few of the items in that. One is in terms of the redrawal of the Pocharam sale. So I think last quarter there was an amount of 1.2 billion in there, both plus and minus. And there's a plus of 300 million. So is that something which you're not using for your existing purposes, so that's why you're paying it off?
Yeah, so currently we are not contemplating any immediate reinvestment opportunity, and that's the reason we chose to pay a part of it in this quarter. And the balance we'll evaluate as we go along and decide in course of the year if we have something to invest in. Otherwise, we may decide to distribute the entire thing. But we'll take that call as we go ahead.
But is there a limit in terms of period as to how long?
Yeah, in a year's time, we need to decide as per the REIT regulation.
Okay. And I also wanted to understand in terms of the debt drawn, there's a plus and a minus of around 5.5 billion. Is that just refinancing of existing debt?
Yeah, that's right.
And is it both at the REIT level or at the SPV level?
The refinancing was at, so the payment which happened, repayment happened at the REIT level. So, and any which is earlier when we had taken this loan at the REIT level, the proceeds had gone to use to repay the SPV loan. So now we are just drawing at the SPV and repaying at the REIT. And then we obviously, as I said, we subsequently raised another debt in July post the quarter end.
Is there any tax impact or difference whether you raise at the SPV or the REIT level?
No, it doesn't really matter. It's only just that, you know, in terms of the rate, we get better rate at the REIT level because, of course, of the AAA rating. So that's why the preference is to raise at the REIT level. But depends. Sometimes the capital structure also plays a deciding factor. But otherwise, broadly, if it's a fixed cost debt, we generally prefer to raise at the REIT level. And as you know, I've said even earlier, we would like to retain some of the LRDs at the SPV level as well, because those are long term. And even from a financial risk management, we prefer to have some long term debt at the SPV level.
And finally, assuming that there are no new assets coming in, the quarterly distribution, is that expected to remain at these levels because your higher income might be offset by higher expenses or interest costs?
No, so as I said, this year we don't expect a material impact on account of the interest rate on the distribution. So we hope, you know, that the current distribution we should be able to maintain or grow.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Rahul Marathe from ICICI Prudential Pension Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Congratulations on a very good set of numbers. So as we could see that during the quarter, bulk of your leasing happened in the Hyderabad micro market. So if you could just provide some more color on the physical occupancy there. Thanks.
About 45%.
So currently we are at 45%. And how has been the trend in like quarter on quarter?
We were about 23 odd percent. It's moved from 23 to between 36 and 45.
Okay. And how does it compare to, say, your Mumbai micro market?
Mumbai micro market is actually same and slightly higher. It is in the region of about almost between 45% and 50%.
Okay.
And in some, some parks in Bombay, it is even 60%.
So in the Hyderabad market, do you see this stabilizing at current levels, or you see it improving from here on?
It will keep improving from here on.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you. We have a next question from the line of Sameer Baisiwala from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you and good evening, everyone. Pini, just a quick one on the previous participant. 1.2 billion from Pocharam sales. Why do you say that you don't have any investment requirement? Because you're doing CapEx. You have a ROFO asset which may come on board very quick, very soon. So why are you using that money for distribution?
So, Sameer, generally, as you know, I've been saying earlier, also most of our capex is funded out of debt. Most of the capex is at the SPV level, and that gets funded out of debt. So, you know, in terms of distribution, so in ROFO, since you specifically mentioned, we are still to work on the capital structure to finalize that. But if it happens by way of swap, we really wouldn't need any capital for the ROFO. So that's the reason we've taken a call to distribute part. And as I said, as we go along in course of the year, depending on the requirement of funds, we'll take a call whether we need to retain this money or distribute.
Okay. Really going by the logic that you're giving, that CapEx will be debt funded and ROFO in a certain manner, so it looks like you will be using this money for distribution. I don't see where you can use this, which investment can you use this for?
Yeah, so Sameer, if it in the course of the year, if any new investment, you know, or any other acquisition opportunity comes our way and we're able to use this, well and good. Otherwise, as you said, we would look at distributing this money.
Okay, fine. And the Vinod, any number that you have in mind or you can take a guess at, what could be the exit committed occupancy by the end of this year?
Hi, Sameer. We have 1.1 odd million square feet cumulatively that comes in for expiry this year. At the beginning of the year, if you remember, I had given a visibility of 600 odd thousand. The way I see it now, we have more than 800,000 visible as renewals for sure. And the rest of it we'll tackle as it comes along at that point in time. That's where we are, Sameer, with that. So we don't see any hiccups there at all.
Okay, but for the vacant area, would you not have some number and therefore occupancy?
For the vacant area, what we discussed also, we are moving towards the target to reach that 90%+ of occupancy by the end of the year.
Okay. So if I've understood you correctly, 85.6% that you had for this quarter may move up to 90% by end of this year.
That's what we're hoping for, that's right.
Okay, no, that's fine. The last question is on the ROFO asset. When does the tenant rent generation begins, and is that something that's important for you to to decide on the timeline?
No, actually they are mutually exclusive, but the rent will start between October and November this year, and we should be ready by then to look at the asset to be brought to the board for taking the next steps to close it.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Thank you. We have a next question from the line of Satinder Singh from Eon Infotech Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, congratulations for a stable set of numbers. So I got two queries. One for Vinod. So besides the return to office, what are the top three challenges that you see for yourself as you drive this business?
So I see challenges more as opportunities, honestly, because after a two-year lull, you're seeing a hybrid environment, and that hybrid is quickly changing towards physical occupancies moving up. So everyone's watching that space, and we are seeing tenants slowly inch up towards physical occupancy. What that does is two things. One is the minute they reach that 50-60% occupancy number, they will suddenly come back with need for more real estate. And at that point in time, we are not seeing too much supply in most micro markets. We are fortunate we have vacancies in some of our parks which we can quickly fill up. We just want the Desh policy to come as quickly as it can so that we can infuse that supply in the marketplace. Otherwise, we are focused more on trying to even bring our under construction supply quicker than what our estimates are. So that's an opportunity we want to encash by bringing in supply at the right time so that we can further lease as demand moves up. Essentially, inflation seems to have capped out. So we are quite comfortable now compared to what it was earlier. Interest rates hopefully will find a stable even plateau soon. And then I don't see any other roadblocks into our targets and our posturing for moving forward.
Okay, thank you. And Preeti, while we have about 35-40% fixed debt there, from your slide 45, it appears that the if one were to look at the weighted average debt, then the fixed component goes down much more because most of the fixed component expires early. If you were to refinance today, what are the kind of rates that you are able to refinance today at?
So we just did one transaction post the quarter end. We have done that at a 7.95 coupon fixed for 5 years. So that's the kind of pricing we are seeing currently. Of course, the prices have moved up in the last 3-4 months because of the policy rate changes, but that's where we are.
This is before the last repo movement, is
that's
this right?
That's right. That's right. We did it before the last repo movement.
Okay, fine. Thank you. I think it'll be good for you to point. So we can understand that Hosaram is being used to even out the distribution, and I think that should be fine. It could, I think, help. Okay, to maybe include that as a part of your visibility. Okay, that if Hosaram is to support distributions for this year, I think it'll be great. This is just a feedback. Okay, to bring it up upfront only, and otherwise I think great set of numbers. So congratulations.
Sure. Thank you,
Satyamur. Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Manish Agrawal from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good evening. Two questions. Firstly, on Commerce on Koru, if you could highlight what sort of exit occupancy rate can we have for FY23 or what sort of traction are we seeing in the asset?
So Chennai has been slightly slower, but we still maintain we will be able to significantly lease out this asset by the end of the financial year.
Okay. And secondly, on the taxation part, so in the P&L, the taxation seems to be on the slightly on the higher side. What exactly is it happening over there?
Generally when you are going to look at PAT or PBT, so you're going to have some SPVs which are obviously not profit making because they have a lot of under construction component. So therefore you'll see it higher because those losses are setting off those profits, and that's the reason the tax will be looking higher. So that's clearly one of the reasons. So it will not be right to straight away do a tax and on PBT. So that's clearly one reason. And then of course there are certain deferred tax positions which have also led to a little bit of higher notional tax, so to say.
So the deferred tax is actually not paid out. So it's which is being used currently, right?
Yeah. That's a notional tax. It's not an actual cash payout.
And so it will remain at elevated levels going forward in FY23-24?
It's not actually at elevated levels. It will remain at the levels at which it is. It's just that you are seeing this higher because of some assets which are loss-making, which are setting off those profits. Once those start moving, into the profit territory, you start seeing those effective tax rate lower.
Understood. Sure, that's all from my side. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you.
We have a next question from the line of Puneet from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much for the opportunity. And my first question is, you talked about rental movement in your portfolio. Can you give some more color on what is the magnitude of rental movement that you are seeing in the marketplace and specifically for your assets?
So we've seen stable firm up of rents, and we continue to see that trajectory because supply is thinning out. Grade A supply is not there. So each micro market will behave in its own way, but we are all micro markets we are seeing firming up at different degrees in pressure moving upwards because the quality supply is thinning out. Then we started a year ago that everyone will run for Grade A, and Grade A will get a lion's share of the demand. And when that lion's share of the demand comes forward, rents for Grade A will firm up significantly higher than the market average. That's what's happening.
And is that applicable for Hyderabad as well? There was some fear of...
Our average rent of what was vacant was at 58, 59. We leased at 68, 9 odd, that vacant area. So what we were envisaging actually happened, and we are now getting the rent pop there.
So the new supply which was envisaged to come in Hyderabad hasn't come to the expectation?
New supply, Grade A is not there. See, there's a big difference between experiential real estate, asset managed with the quality of the experience you provide to your tenant, will decide what profile of tenant wants to come to you. And that tenant is willing to pay a price for the experience and the quality of asset management. And that's exactly what is making a significant difference to asset quality and preference.
Understood. My second question is, if you have any stance on whether you want to lease out your spaces to managed workspace provider or co-working space providers, and what kind of rental agreements are those guys currently working with you?
So most of the players who we would engage with are guys who already have a back-to-back client, which is a AAA grade tenant who is looking for flexibility but is signing the back-to-back contract. We are happy to do transactions with those kind of arrangements. And the rents are in line with what rents we are charging. There are no special freebies or advantages passed on to any of those occupiers. For us, it's business as usual.
Yes, so there are fixed rentals, not revenue share kind of contracts?
No, not at all. These are vanilla leases with the rent that we want.
Okay, understood. That's very helpful. And Piti, for you, on your variable cost, what is the cost of borrowing linked to? Is it more MCLR linked, more repo rate linked? How should one think about that for the variable cost?
Yeah, so Puneet, generally the way these interest rates for variable cost debt moves is they move with a lag. It's happened both ways. When the cycle is the other way also, we've seen the rates decreasing with a lag. Now when the cycle is reversing also, we are seeing the rates increasing with the lag. And also what happens is sometimes we have debt which has annual resets. Some of them have quarterly resets. So even if the repo rates move or so, generally they change on resets. So we do have the benefit of some loans where the reset is say a year later. So to that extent, for a year at least, we enjoy the benefit of those rates. So not everything will move exactly in tandem with the repo rate. Directionally, that's the way it will happen, but not necessarily it will translate to exactly the same proportion of change.
Also, not be in line with repo, or you think it will largely be?
No, it will, I would say, eventually it will be in line with repo, but not immediately. In the short term, it will not be. So generally, it's not necessary the banks will transmit those interest rates exactly the way they go move.
Okay. So underlying is not necessarily repo for your case?
No, not necessarily. Directionally, yes, Puneet, that's the way it will move. So directionally, if the repo rates on a rise, you will see the interest rates moving up. But it's not necessary that a 50 basis point change here will immediately lead to a 50 basis point change in the variable cost, debt cost also. That's not the way to
do. Understood. That's very helpful. Thank you so much. And all the best.
Thank you.
As there are no further questions, on behalf of Mindspace Business Parks REIT, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you, everyone.